by something that we say in church. It's like, from God, everything needed for body and soul. So the physical and the spiritual, that's very comprehensive, isn't it? Everything needed. That really strikes me. Today we begin a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. Now, isn't God's timing amazing? Let me tell you how God had a hand in planning this sermon series. Earlier this spring, I thought to myself, when the summer comes, I want to do a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. When should I begin? June 1 was out of the picture. I was in Michigan for my daughter's wedding. June 8 was out of the picture. I was in Arizona for the church meetings. And besides that, Rose was preaching on Pentecost. So when do I begin? June 15, Sunday, today, which is? And how does the Lord's Prayer begin? Wow, that was good. I like that. A little interactive. And maybe some of you think, well, that's just a coincidence, but God's hand is in this, lining these things up. And that's incredible. Father's Day, our Father, what a blessing. So we'll take a deep dive into the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father prayer this summer. Summer is growing time in the life of the church. As you can see, the worship committee has decorated the church with green. And green is the color of growth in the church. So we'll grow in prayer this summer. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and open us up. Open our eyes to see your word. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our hearts to receive Jesus Christ. Open our arms to receive the loving embrace of God, our Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. Let's hear from God's word. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. The scripture this morning is from Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15, found on page 1380 in your Bible. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Cheryl, for reading. The sermon has three parts: the who of prayer, the how of prayer, and the why of prayer. And I think if you look even closer, it'll be about the three persons of the Holy Trinity. The who, God the Father; the how, the instruction of Jesus Christ; and the why, having to do with the Holy Spirit and his influence on his church. But first, a brief introduction. Brothers and sisters, before we had cable TV or satellite TV or streaming TV on the internet, we had antenna TV. Do you remember those days with the black and white sets and the rabbit ears? You remember those days? And there used to be a show in early television called Father Knows Best. Have you heard of it? It used to be a radio show, but then in the early days of television, it transferred from radio to TV. And in the show, there was a father by the name of Jim Anderson. Jim and his wife, Margaret, had three kids, Betty, Bud, and Kathy. And whenever the kids needed advice on anything at all, they could always turn to dear old dad, because father knows best. Now, I'm a dad, and I'll be the first one to admit that I don't always know best. In a conversation with my kids, I sometimes find myself tongue-tied, not knowing exactly what to say. But with God's help, I strive to be the best dad that I can be. I may not be the perfect dad who knows best, but I try to do my best as a parent. That's the difference between human dads and our Father in heaven. Truly, our Father knows what's best for his earthly children. How do we know that God the Father really knows best? Because Jesus tells us so. Do you trust Jesus for your salvation? Then you can also trust Jesus for his words of wisdom. In our reading today, it's entirely Jesus speaking. Did you realize that? When Cheryl was reading that, those 11 verses from Matthew 6, that was all like red letter text in our Bibles. That was all Jesus talking the whole time. No exceptions. And from Matthew 5 to 7, it's all Jesus talking. It's Jesus giving a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, starting at chapter 5 and ending at chapter 7, is chapter 6, with Jesus' instruction on prayer, specifically the Lord's Prayer. And a lot of people think that's no coincidence that it's smack dab in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. According to one commentator, the gospel writer Matthew presents the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for the disciples. It has been placed by Matthew to become the very center of the Sermon on the Mount, both structurally and theologically. And you know what? The Lord's Prayer is central for us too. It is first and foremost because it's the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. We pray it every Sunday here at Lakeview, and I know you know that that happens right at the end of that congregational prayer. We always end with the Lord's Prayer recited together. And many of you pray the Lord's Prayer during your personal devotions or perhaps during family mealtime. Sometimes the Lord's Prayer is called the Our Father because that's the way it starts. In this passage of Scripture, in just 11 verses, there's no fewer of 6 mentions of the Father. 6 mentions. It's a strong emphasis because Jesus, as the Son, wants to lead us gently by the hand to be part of the family of God and to consider God our Father too. If God is Jesus' Father and it's good enough for Jesus, well, then it's good enough for us too. In one of the references, Jesus warns believers against overly lengthy prayers, since your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You know what? It's unnecessary to pray about every little detail because God, your Father, knows. He knows you. He knows what you need. He knows what you need even before it's on your lips. It's not only amazing, but also comforting at the very same time. So Jesus begins the prayer with our Father in heaven, and it's an invitation to join in the same relationship that Jesus has with God. Jesus is the beloved Son of God, the Father. And in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, he generously welcomes us into the family as adopted sons and daughters. We're God's children, amen? Amen. But for Jesus, it's more than just lip service. He makes it happen because of his dedicated work on the cross. Through his blood, he healed us, he forgave us, and he dealt with our sins, which separate us from God. He brought us closer to God through his death on the cross. In his classic commentary on the book of Matthew, Dale Bruner says this: "We are the church. We are those who by faith in Christ have been adopted We've been adopted into the family of God, and we enjoy the privilege of being called God's children who have been adopted by grace through faith. Being sons and daughters of God is not so much a right as it is a gift of grace. And it's surely a gift to know God as Father, don't you agree? As our Heavenly Father, He provides for us, He protects us, and most of all, He loves us more than we can even imagine. Knowing God as our loving Father, knowing God as our good, good Father, it certainly gives us comfort. But now what? How do we grow in prayer? How do we pray? And that's where Jesus comes in. Once again, Jesus takes us gently by the hand and guides us with caring and careful instruction. He speaks to anyone willing to listen. This then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. And he goes on to unpack the Lord's Prayer line by beautiful line. But before Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, he teaches them exactly how not to pray. He says, don't be like the hypocrites, and don't be like the pagans. And he intentionally mentions two groups of people because there were two groups of people in Matthew's church: Gentile converts to Christianity and Jewish converts to Christianity. So he goes to two people of prayer. He goes to the synagogue where people are praying, the Jewish people, and he goes to the pagan temple where the Gentiles are praying to their idols and their gods. And so this is what Jesus has to say about that. When you pray, don't be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corner to be seen by other people. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. Pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Now, what can we learn from this? For one, prayers are not to be showy or ostentatious. Prayers are not performed for the purpose of entertaining an audience. Instead, authentic prayers are offered in humility and simplicity, from one heart to another, right from the heart of a faithful disciple to the very heart of a loving God. The second example is given from Gentile prayer practice. In those days, believe it or not, there was no such thing as atheists. Everybody was religious. Everybody had a religion. Atheism didn't exist. Everybody believed in some sort of God, whether it was the God of the Bible who revealed himself or whether it was some other God, that remains to be seen. But everybody believed in some version of a God. It was only a matter of if a person worshiped the God of the Bible or an idolatrous imitation from pagan religion. Nevertheless, Jesus said, when you pray, don't keep on babbling. Don't keep babbling like a pagan, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, Jesus here is kind of being like a dad, right? You know, like, when your kids are growing up, and maybe some of you have to reach back several decades for this, you might have pulled them aside and say, hey, you see this guy in the nightly news? Don't be like him. Or you see this girl at school that's acting out, she's being a bully? Don't be like her. And so we point out various people and we hold them out as examples, both negative and positive. That's what dads do. So Jesus wants to teach us about what it means to pray. And so he holds out these pagans as an example. He says, they're too long, for one thing, and they're quite repetitive. The people in that day and age used prayer as an incantation to try to manipulate their gods. They wanted to pull the right strings in order to get God to do what they wanted done, to force their hand. Martin Luther has a word to say about this topic. He says, "I recommend short, fervent prayers, where one sighs towards heaven with a word or two, as is often quite possible in the midst of our daily life, in the midst of doing some other task. Prayers ought to be brief, frequent, and intense." Did you catch that? Brief, frequent, and intense. Here's a few examples. A person caught in their sin. "Lord, have mercy." A person in the hospital bed. "Heavenly Father, heal me." A person exhausted from the bumps and bruises of life. "Dear Jesus, help me rest. Give me your peace." Someone with challenging relationships. "Fill me, Spirit, with your love." In addition, believers discover that prayer consists of what you need, not really what you want. Jesus warns us, "Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him." That's remarkable, isn't it? That with all these billions of people, what are there now, 7 billion people, 8 billion people on earth? The Father knows you, Anthony. The Father knows you, Charlie. The Father knows you, Donna. The Father knows you, Rose. The Father knows all of you by name. And he loves you. You're his kids. How does he keep track of it all? I don't know. Maybe because he's God and I'm human. Father knows you. The Father knows me. The Father knows us. And he knows what we truly need well in advance of our sincere prayers. I love the way Thomas Long expresses this sentiment. God is no stranger to us. And that's the point of Jesus' word about prayer. Jesus reassures us that we can pray not as outsiders, but as God's children, tenderly, honestly, and confidently. In our secret whispered prayers, we are known so well that God, like a parent listening with his heart to his children, he can even finish our sentences. Have you ever known someone so well that they can finish your sentences? It can be irritating at times. You're like, "Hey, let me finish my thought here." But God knows you so well, he can complete your sentences. What a blessing to know that God is our faithful Father and we are his children. But one question remains. And this is the toughest question. Why? Why should we pray? If the Father already knows what you need before you ask him, why even bother with prayer? Isn't it just a waste of time? I wonder if we misunderstand what it really means to pray. Sometimes maybe we think prayer is bringing a long list of to-dos to God. We think it's our job to offer God a substantial shopping list or a daddy-do list so that God won't forget to check the items off the list and take care of some things that are quite important to us. But prayer is so much more. In preparing for this sermon, I discovered an article online entitled, "Why Pray If God Already Knows Our Needs?" Let me know if you want me to send you a link for the article. It's really good. I found it on BibleHub.com, a great source of information on the internet. Here's the quote, which comes back to the Father Knows Best idea. Prayer is a conversation. It is more than simply listing requests. It's communing with the one who knows us best. I like the rhyme. We make a request, he knows us best. Request, best. We think prayer is all about our requests, but it's more about our interaction, our communion, our conversation with the one who knows us best. In fact, believe it or not, he knows you better than you actually know yourself. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? When we make a request, he knows us best. And overall, prayer is so much more than just listing out our wants and needs to God. It's a daily fellowship with him. And the one that describes this best is Brother Lawrence. And Brother Lawrence had a saying, he talked about practicing the presence of God. So by prayer, we practice the presence of God. It's not that God is far away if we don't pray. It's just that when we pray, it makes us more aware of his presence. We acknowledge the fact that he's in the room. We're aware of the fact that God is near. It develops an awareness in us. Think of Father's Day. It's so good to hear from your kids, to hear their voice. Maybe your kids are local, or perhaps they live in another state. So if they remember that it's Father's Day, they might end up calling you and you hear them. And it's not that they're giving you any new information. Rather, it's just a blessing to hear their voice in the earpiece of the telephone. So it is with God. He'd love to hear from you. You're his kids. One wise author was not afraid to confront the why question. Why pray if God knows our needs? Matthew 6, verse 8 naturally prompts the question, if God already possesses perfect knowledge of our needs, what purpose is served by our prayers? Yet throughout Scripture, believers are called to pray continually and fervently. Rather than rendering prayer unnecessary, God's perfect knowledge of our needs highlights deeper reasons behind the practice of prayer. Those reasons concern intimacy with God, spiritual growth, obedience, and alignment with his will. Praying draws us closer to God, reducing the perceived distance between heaven and earth. Praying reminds us that we are the beloved children of God, our Father in heaven. And praying encourages us to grow in our walk with God. Like the color green right here in front of me, and over here and over there, the color green reminds us that summer is a time not just for your physical growth, but for your spiritual growth. Grow in faith, grow in hope, and grow in love. Finally, prayer is not just a mere suggestion by Jesus. Prayer is assumed to be part of the life of a believer. Take a look at verses 5, 6, and 7 of today's Bible passage. Let me look at that right now. Verse 5, and when you pray, verse 6, but when you pray, verse 7, and when you pray, what am I trying to say here? It doesn't say if you pray, it says when you pray, whenever you pray. It's assumed that the Christian disciple, the Christian follower of Christ, is going to pray. It's part of your faith walk. It's part of who you are in Christ. Not once, not twice, but three times to really drive home the point. And in verse 9, Jesus speaks right before he unwraps the gift of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, this then is how to pray. This then is how you should pray. He doesn't offer it up as a good idea if you feel like it. No, you should pray because prayer is essential. Prayer is necessary. Otherwise, what does a prayerless life look like? If you don't pray, you'll be disconnected from God and left to your own devices. It's also important to remember that Jesus often found time to pray to his Father. So for that reason, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you. If it's good enough for the Son of God, then it's good enough for us, God's sons and daughters. So may the Holy Spirit bring us ever closer into an intimate relationship with God the Father. May the Holy Spirit inspire us to be prayerful people. And as a result, may we thrive as beloved children of God the Father. We will leave this place absolutely determined to know him and make him known. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's children say, amen. Amen. Let's